This morning's reading is from Mark 10, verses 13 to 16, and it is a paraphrase. One day, Jesus was sitting down teaching his followers. As always, there were crowds milling around, curious people, people who needed help, people who wanted to catch Jesus out. Lots of families were there too, with kids running around, playing hide and seek behind their parents' tunics and shawls. The parents wanted the best for their kids, so decided to bring them up to Jesus. "Please, Jesus, place your hands on my children and bless them," they asked. They had seen Jesus bringing healing and life to those he had touched. And who wouldn't want that for their kids? But Jesus' closest friends told them off. "Do you think Jesus has time for your kids?" sneered Peter. "He has much more important things to do," shouted John. "Don't interrupt the teacher," said James, and told them to go back to the crowd. But Jesus saw what was happening, and he got angry. "What are you doing, stopping the children from coming to me?" Jesus asked his friends indignantly. "Don't stop them. It's for people like them that I've come." He gave his friends a final frustrated look, in fact. And this is the truth. If you don't come to me like a child, you won't be able to come at all. While his friends scratched their beards, felt a bit bad for being told off and wondered what he meant, Jesus gathered up the children in his arms. He blessed them, spoke joy into their lives, and perhaps joined in with a game of peekaboo. Here endeth the lesson.
We all need each other, don't we, in the family of God? And no one or no group is more important than the other. I think we saw that in the readings. The disciples thought the children didn't really matter. They can just be pushed to the side. They can just be, you know, they're not a priority. But then we saw, I think, something quite beautiful in the story of Samuel, little Samuel and old Eli, actually working together and serving God together. There's something really quite lovely about that. You know, the old and the young coming together. I'm going to put up a picture, or James will, please. Okay, I'm sure you'll recognise that as London, or the centre of London. But by looking at that picture, I wonder if you can tell me which is the tallest building. By looking at the picture, who can tell me which is the tallest building? The what? The Shire?
Shire? It depends on when the picture was taken.
Sorry?
Big Ben.
Can you see Big Ben in the picture?
No.
No. Just by looking at the picture, we can we tell which building is the tallest? Okay. Now let's look at it from a street view. Looking from the street or down on ground level, we can begin to see the different buildings, can't we? The shapes of the buildings and the size of the buildings. And we can probably see which is the tallest building or etc., etc. See, when we look at a town or a city from satellite, from way, way up high, we cannot tell the difference between the buildings down below. And yet from ground level, we can see that some are tall, some are different shaped, etc. So we put up the next slide. Thanks, James. It all depends on our perspective, doesn't it? What we see. If we're looking from way up from space, we get one view. But if we're looking from ground level, we get a very different one. When we look at each other, we see all our differences, don't we? When we look at each other, we see that some are tall, some are not so tall. Some have curly hair, some have got dark hair, some have got light hair. Some might not have any hair. You know, some wear fancy clothes, some maybe less fancy. Some are young, some are old. From ground level, from our perspective, we notice all of those things, don't we? But God doesn't look at us like that. God sees us all as equal, doesn't he? And that we're all equally loved, equally important, and we can all equally serve God, just like little Samuel did. In the story of Jesus blessing the children, his disciples were surprised that Jesus didn't look at the children the same way that they did. From their perspective, the kids were unimportant for lots of reasons, I guess. They couldn't hold important positions. They couldn't earn money. They couldn't serve in the temple and do religious duties. They were just noisy. They just got in the way. They just stopped Jesus from getting on with the important things. And this is one of the few times in the Bible where we read that Jesus was angry. He was angry at his disciples. See, the disciples thought the children were unimportant by their standards or by the standards of their society. How different from Jesus, from his perspective. Children were full of joy. Their faith, their sense of wonder, marked them out, even from Jesus' disciples. And Jesus says, you need to become like the children. It's not about waiting for the children to become like adults. You need to become like the children if you want to follow me. And lots of stories in the Bible that we read about Jesus talking to people who were not respected, who were just shoved aside, who were forgotten, neglected, less important than others. And very often that's the people Jesus spent time with, wasn't it? He didn't care whether some were rich or poor, or tall or short, whether you were married or single, whether you were able-bodied or disabled. None of those things really mattered to Jesus. He just loved you for being you. Often, I think, in our culture, we value children highly, or at least we should do, but I think generally we do. And perhaps the group in society we don't value so much are older people. And we have words to describe older people, don't we? Like, past their sell-by date. Ever used that or said that? Or they're a has-been. They once were, but now they've come and gone, and they're no use anymore, is the implication. They're written off. But again, from God's perspective, it is very, very different. He values the young and the old and everyone in between in the very same way. And one of the beautiful things about church and being church family is that we can serve together. We can work together with all our differences. Maybe a different skin color, different cultures, different languages, you know, different backgrounds. And that's why I say I think one of the beautiful things about the story of Samuel and Eli is that they serve God together in that holy tent. Praying, worshiping, lighting candles, being in God's presence, making him a priority, but doing it together. And the story of Jesus with the children as well, it's quite a rebuke, isn't it, for those disciples. But Jesus values each and every one of us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we are part of the family for which Jesus gave his life, that he died on a cross, taking all our sin and all our shame, that we might be forgiven and cleansed and be born again, becoming a new creation. And Father, we thank you that we are part of your family, that we can rejoice in you and your goodness and your love towards us. Lord, help us each day to live in the good of all that you've done for us. And help us, Lord, to respect one another, to value each one, and not to focus so much on our differences, but the fact that we are indeed one in Christ. So bless us, Lord, we pray, and thank you again for your amazing love for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.